What would you do if somebody told you to your face that they're not going to hire you or pay you fairly because you're blind? That's what happened to our next guest, Jeremy Grandstaff, and he joins us today on Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
All right, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and, important today, the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro and Mike Gesser. And let's talk about the Inspiration Foundation, fellas, because this is one of the things I'm most proud of you guys for creating. It is a foundation that is dedicated to increasing employment for people with disabilities by at least, 20-25%?
10%. Don't get too 10%. Aggressive. Come on.
I mean, I want to get into like 40%, really. But no, in all seriousness, you guys started this because you guys saw that there are statistics out there that show like 80% of people with disabilities have a really hard time finding employment. And it is an unfortunate statistic that you guys saw and said, you know what, we're going to do something about this. And you guys started the Inspiration Foundation with the goal of trying to create a seal to try to award to companies and businesses that do a really good job of hiring people with disabilities to show consumers that this business is doing a good job of hiring a significant portion of their workforce, people with disabilities. It's not just, what did our last guest say? It's not just a token hire here and there. They're actually making a legitimate effort to hire people with disabilities. And as we've talked about again and again and again, the numbers show over and over and over again that when you hire people with disabilities, the benefits are amazing. The numbers bear out over and over and over again that people with disabilities are as good, if not better, than typical employees in most cases over and over and over again, as long as you provide them with the training and the resources that they need to succeed. So today's guest is really, I'm so excited about this because you guys have hired a brand new executive director for the Inspiration Foundation. Someone that you guys have been excited about. We've talked about this privately, and now it's our chance to meet this man who's going to be leading the Inspiration Foundation as it forges ahead. Jeremy Grandstaff, welcome to the show, Jeremy.
Welcome to the show, Jeremy.
Let's go.
Jeremy.
I'm so glad to be here. Really. I mean, it is absolutely an honor, and as I've been kind of getting ready for this interview, I actually watched the one that you guys did on Kirk Adams, and I thought, wow, there are so many similarities there about me and how I got to here comparatively to the path that he took as well. And so I'm just really excited to be here. Thank you, Evan and Kirk, or I'm sorry, Evan and Isaac and Mike. So good to be with you.
Welcome to the show.
It is an absolute pleasure. All right. So first off, which one of you guys found Jeremy? I mean, how do we get to this point?
Isaac.
I mean, somebody's got to tell me a backstory here.
Yeah. Well, actually,
you want to take it, Isaac?
Isaac, you just started. I mean, we started out with Kirk Adams. I mean, so, you know, we went through our network. We were very fortunate to also, we have a recruiter and consulting company that works with Clean Logic, and they actually donated their time to help us recruit and find. So we went through our network and recruiting. We had over 15 candidates. And so when they say, you know, your network matters, it really does. And, you know, like Kirk Adams brought us Jeremy, and, you know, and he didn't bring me a big list of people. So he really was confident in what Jeremy could bring. And that was in the back of, you know, my mind. And it was great to see that we had so many great candidates and, you know, the network. And at the end of the day.
And let me cut you off here because remind the people who Kirk Adams is, because Kirk Adams is a legend among legends here. And if you're not familiar with Kirk Adams, like, you want to tell people who Kirk Adams is, Isaac, real quick?
Yeah, so Kirk Adams, you know, he was the CEO of the American Foundation for the Blind, yep. Lighthouse.
Legend.
And now he's also got his own consulting company, but just been an amazing individual who's had a lived experience being blind since, I think it was age 5 when he lost his sight. So just been a leader in hiring people with disabilities, especially his specialty in vision loss.
Yeah, absolute legend in the space. So he brings you a small list. Jeremy, you are, I mean, I don't want to say up against, like it's a competition, but really it is, I guess.
I didn't know it at the time, right? Like, I mean, you go into these things and I'll just say, like, I've known Kirk for 10 years, maybe a little bit more. And I did some work with Kirk back in my consulting days. And then I went in to the corporate sector for a little bit. And kind of rounded out my HR leadership profile, if you will. And Kirk calls me and he says, hey, I just talked to Isaac. Well, I had met Isaac a couple times. I think you were on Kirk's show, actually, when I met you the first time. And he said, you should really put your hat in the ring for this. And I did. And I'm like, oh, this would be cool. Right? Like, we'll see where this goes. And I had, I think, four interviews. I do want to say to Mike, I think one of my favorite conversations was with you. And it was right before I had interviewed with Isaac again. And I just thought, wow, the more that I get into this, the more I feel that there is alignment here with where we want to go. And not just the experience that I have in nonprofits, but also being able to tap into that lived experience,
yeah.
Right?
And yeah. Well, Jeremy, why don't you give a little background on yourself, you know, your history, you know, your lived experience as, you know, with vision loss. I'd love to just get the backstory when you were born, and maybe you can take us from year 1, 2, 3, 4. No, just kidding. but no, just I'd love, you got a great story and I think we'd love our audience to hear about it.
Well, let's see, Isaac. The night I was born, what? No. So I was born in 1976. And to kind of put it in context, and I never have actually started with this story, but I think it's so relevant. When I was born, the night I was born, my mother was horseback riding while she was pregnant with me, and she was teaching a 4-H club. Right? How to ride horses. And so she was on a horse, if I remember correctly, that evening. And the reason that I tell you that, correctly. I know, right? Well, I don't remember.
Of course he remembers it.
But all I, the reason I tell that story is because it's such an example of how I was raised to always go above and beyond.
Right.
Right? I grew up in a little town called Marengo, Ohio. I was the first of 4 kids. 3 of us are blind. 1 is not. So when I came along, all they knew is that something was wrong with my eyes. Like, there's pictures of me at 2 years old with glasses on because they couldn't get me to tell them if that helped or not. Right? I was 2. Wow. I didn't know. Like, what was I supposed to say?
Right.
But I was officially diagnosed somewhere around 1 or 2. And as the story is told to me, my parents reached out to the government. They were told that someone should come out from the government. And they had a really bad experience with that. This is 1978.
Sure.
They were told that they should check me into an institution.
Oh my God.
And that was going to be where I lived for the rest of my life. And, you know, I'm from a little town in Ohio, right? No judgment.
Right.
I'm just saying. That's what the resources were at that time. And as the story is told to me, my dad had some choice words for what the person could do to get off our property.
Sure.
But one of the things that he said was, my son is going to be able to do whatever he wants to do.
Absolutely. Great. I love your dad.
And so, like, as a kid, you know, I used to ride my bicycle. We lived on a farm, right? So there wasn't a lot of things to hit. It wasn't like living in the city. I was slide cars all down the road, right? But, you know, we lived out in the country. So at the age of 5, I used to ride my bicycle around, and I'd take out a mailbox or two on the way and have bloody knuckles as I come into the house. And my dad, like there was no treating me different because I was blind. It was, you better wash the blood off your hand before your mother gets up. Mm. Right. I mean, so there was an expectation as I grew up and, you know, begun to ride horses, and I had a motorcycle for a little bit. Kirk actually talked about all his friends were getting their license and getting jobs, and my way of compensating, you know, because I went to the blind school for 5 years, and then I came up to public school. And so you do feel left out and isolated at that time, but daggone it, I had that motorcycle. And so I could justify it in my head, right?
Right.
I also had really good friends in high school that, like, we hung out together and we double dated together, and we were very close friends. And I think that gave me a little bit more freedom because I always had somebody that would take me places.
Right.
But I remember when I got up to like the end of high school, and I remember, you know, by that point, I've been trained in Braille. I've had gotten all the blindness skills, and I won't bore you with all those details, right? But I was raised with all of those things that I was going to need to be successful. And I remember my counselor, my rehab counselor, said, "So do you want to get a dog or do you want to use your cane?" And I had grown up in this little town, and I had this vision that I was going to live in Washington, D.C. one day. And I had never been here, by the way, where I live now. I'd never been here, never visited, barely went to Columbus, Ohio, right? But I had this vision in my head that I was going to have a dog, and I was going to take myself into D.C. every day, and I was going to be somebody that mattered. And so I went to school, and I got my dog, and I couldn't go back there. After that, right? The freedom of being able to have the transportation and the access that I wanted was so critical to me. But it also comes down to, you know, my parents gave me that desire from day one that there would be nothing that would stop me. And I had to figure out how to get around that. Now, you know, once you get into your career, then you become a perfectionist, and that's a whole different discussion you know, we can get into that.
Right. Well, I think what's important, just I want to capture, because, you know, we do have parents that are our audience, and, you know, especially working with a lot of the nonprofits in the blind and visually impaired community, they talk about parents that are scared to go and take care of stuff and be in denial. So again, just another classic example, what you're doing, Jeremy. And I'll even say it at the end of when we first talked about, hey, is this the job you wanted? You said, I think this role is important that you hire someone with a disability. So I just really appreciate that confidence. So, you know, just love the confidence that your parents give, because I just think it's so important that parents can't be in denial. They gotta be aggressive with being confident and laying out a path for your child in the future and do that. So I think you're just already explaining the importance, and look at what we have at Inspiration as someone that is just confident and ready to take on the world.
You know, Isaac, to tag on to that, and it's so critical what you're saying, because I don't know, this is so funny. I just had this conversation with my siblings a couple weeks ago. I don't know for sure if my parents really knew that they were telling the truth. Right. I think that they believed it in their heart when they said, you can do anything.
Yeah.
But can you imagine, like, being them and you have this blind boy and you have no idea what you want, like what you need to do? You've got some resources that are available, but you don't know really how to use them. All you know is that you want him to do better than you did. And so there's this realization I think that I've had as I got older, that I think my parents really believed deep down that we could achieve what we wanted, but I don't know that they fully bought it when they were telling us that.
Right.
Right. And how brave of them to be those parents, like, where you're literally, I've watched kids who their parents live for them every day. Like they live their lives through their kids. My parents literally said, I want you to go find your own life and it's okay. And by the way, don't let anybody stand in your way. Amazing. Yeah,
but you know what? Like you say things that you hope happen and then you figure out how to actually back it up. Right. I mean, it's like, I know with my kid, it's the same thing. My daughter was born with severe cerebral palsy. She's nonverbal and she's not ambulatory. And it's like, I want her to have this great life. And my goal with her was like, I want you to achieve and I want you to be happy and I want you to do all these things. I have, at the time, I have no idea how to help her accomplish all those things, but I just know I want those things to be true. So I say that to her and then I just say, I don't know how we're going to get to that point, but we're going to keep saying that. And that's our mantra and that's our battle cry. And we're going to figure it out every single day, how to keep moving the ball closer to the goal line. And clearly it worked. And I think that's the point of keeping that mantra and keep saying these things and speaking it out loud and saying it, because it forces you to keep finding a way to get to the goal. And they did for you, because look at the way you turned out.
100%.
Not doing too bad for yourself.
And I want to add on to that. So it's the same thing. Like, my daughter's disabled. I know what her disability means, but there's nothing that she can't accomplish that she wants to accomplish, so long as she puts her mind to it. And my job and my role is like, my kid could do anything. And every day, like, I'm surprised more and more by the things that she can do and the advances and the progress that she's making. So in my mind, like, for me, it's about motivation for her to achieve what she wants to do. And I think from a parent's perspective, like, the bare minimum, you have to say, go out into the world and live your life and be the best version of you that you can be. And if I'm understanding, Jeremy, that might be what your parents meant. And where you ended up is the unknown, but you took yourself there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I think it's like you're looking at the foundation strategic plan. No, because I think so much of this has to do with public awareness. It has to do with changing a culture, right?
Yeah.
And also at the same exact time, walking a very, very appropriate line on what's important and what's not important, right? What battles are the important battles? What battles am I never going to win?
Right.
And how do we change the battles that we're never going to win into opportunities without actually forgetting the battles that we really need to go after, right?
Yeah.
I think that as we really look at how do we tell the stories of people who have disabilities and what they're bringing into the workplace. But I'm also reminded of something that ironically someone said to me in a meeting this morning, which was basically, how do you get people who don't have disabilities to actually understand what the value of someone who has a disability is? And how do you get those people to the table for that conversation?
It's really interesting.
And I think you guys see that in a lot of like what Clean Logic has done and what we're doing when it comes to, not just telling the story, but also figuring out how do we quantify it and how do we make sure that people aren't just, quote, giving it lip service, right? And that it's really a value, that it's integrated in everything that we do. A workforce where disability inclusion is the standard, right? It's just there.
Right.
It's not something that we have to talk about. It's just part of the process.
Well, right. let's talk about that mission, because, it's a pretty bold mission: increase employment for individuals with disabilities for 10%, which today I don't know any nonprofit out there in the United States that's committing, and we're not doing the hiring. We're collaborating. One of the things we talked about, Jeremy, and our interview is you got to bring it an approach with nonprofit, government, business, and the disability community. So what makes you think that is an attainable piece? And what do you believe that you felt you brought to the table that you told us that I think is important, for people to hear?
Well, Wow, now you're asking me to think in your head.
these are the interview questions that weren't asked
that
when
weren't
we were
part
in
of the interview. I yeah. love it. You know, so 10% is great, and I love that number. I think that we have to figure out where we're at now and where we want that to land. I like the other numbers that, you know, we're talking about, right? Like, how do we increase the number of people who are being hired? How do we, you know, one of the things that I really found interesting about this role is it's not just about raising public awareness and changing the culture, but it's also looking at grant programs and what is going to actually remove some of the barriers for companies to hire and for people that want hired to get the job, right? Or to be considered for the job, I should right. say. There's a lot of research component into it. And to your second question, one of the most amazing jobs that I have had before this amazing job is working for an organization called Alliance for Biking and Walking. And when I took that job, as I was their second in charge, right? There was I was basically reported directly to the CEO. But my job was to really look at how do we develop organizations so that they are advocating for placemaking that increases the opportunities for people who bike and walk. By the way, just to kind of put that in context, that's underserved communities, and it gets into affordable housing and active transportation, public transportation, right? When you're really getting into it. And how do you design your city? In that role, when I first took that job, and I think I even told you this, Isaac, I did not know the first thing. I didn't even know biking and walking was a thing, right? I was like, there's organizations who do this for a living? That's crazy. I'd never heard of that before. But my job was to build the organizations and to train the organizations on how to learn from each other and how to really put programs in place that were going to transcend barriers to growing their movement. And so you jump ahead 10 years, and now I have about 25 years in my career. I have sat, Evan, I know you don't know this story, but the other ones are getting it for a second time, I'm sure. But I have sat in front of an HR director who literally said to me, "You are a blind person. So you should expect that we will never promote you into a role like a consultant role because you'll never be as good as a sighted person."
Did you slap that person in the face?
They said it on video, on recorded video.
That's insane. Right?
I have had a boss literally look me in the eye and say, "You know what? I don't really have to pay you what I owe you because, frankly, you're a member of the disability community and there's not many jobs that you can go after."
But so, okay.
And
when when that person says that to you or use the video you got, what do you do? What's your response to that?
Well, so I'm one of two people, right?
Because I'd be in jail.
Well, can't do that, right? Because remember, then you become the angry blind guy. Nobody likes the angry blind guy, right? So,
it depends. Angry blind guy.
it depends on, you know, where I'm at and what, like when the first person said it to me, I literally said, "Okay, well, I don't really want to work for you."
Yeah.
And I have no hope that I'm ever going to change your mind. And it's kind of not worth it to me.
Right.
The second one, I was like, you should not, you know, the one that talked to me about, I don't have to really pay you because you're a blind guy. I was like, that's kind of the stupidest thing you've ever said.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, so we're going to pretend you didn't say that and you're going to pay me. Yeah. And then we'll talk about what happens next. But I think I'm also an aggressive guy. Right. If I get backed into a corner, I'm Jeremy Grandstaff, daggone it. We were raised to be that way.
Yeah.
Right. And so if I get backed into a corner, I'll fight. Not everybody's like that. And so I don't know what it was, Isaac, that made you guys say, "Wow, he's the one." But I will say this. For me, the reason I said yes is because I've been looking for what is that right opportunity to do two things. One, change the world, and two, build an organization that's changing the world. And this is what we're doing, right? We're changing the way people think about people with disabilities. We're changing the way that people think about their workforce and their makeup. And we're doing it by building an organization that serves all of those communities and brings them together in a really collaborative way. And that's, I think I said in the interview one time to these two, something like, I'm your collaborative engagement guy. That's what I like to do, is get people to collaborate with each other.
I love
it. Did that answer your question, Isaac?
Hey, I'm just trying to get the audience to know you, so I knew the answer already. So, no trick questions here.
We almost just had a spit take on camera, by the way. I saw that.
That was good. That was great timing.
I did. That would have been amazing. Go ahead, Jeremy.
No, go ahead. You're good.
No, I'm just saying, you know, I love the team you guys are building for the Inspiration Foundation. I think that, you know, I know we just got to know each other, Jeremy, but I think this is great. I think you're a guy that people will get behind. I think you got a really compelling story. I think you're clearly motivated. And I know you're engaging. And I think that's what it's going to take to get people to get on board, is a compelling story. You're willing to get in people's faces and talk to people and tell them what they're going to need to hear. Not what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. And look, like, getting in front of people and just, you know, it's like pounding the pavement and letting them know, like, hey, this is a thing that matters to people. And we were talking about this before, like, everybody knows somebody, everybody's touched by disability. And we were talking about this at the top of the show, you know, 80% of people with disabilities are not getting hired, and that number needs to change. And I think that people are sick and tired of seeing people that they love get left out in the cold. You know, the people that we know that have disabilities that want to work, that are getting left behind, stuck out, that sucks. And we're angry. And the stories like the ones that Jeremy just told about, you know, getting mistreated, disrespected, enough is enough already. And we need more advocates, strong advocates that are willing to. I'm the wrong person to be the executive director of the Inspiration Foundation, because I'm probably not the right person to use the nuance the right way to talk to people that aren't ready to have these conversations. But Jeremy, you are the right person, and I wish you nothing but luck and success. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Isaac and Mike have made the right choice in you. And, you know, I really do. I think that you guys are going to be really successful with this, and I can't wait to see the heights that you guys reach with this thing. I think it's going to be great. I'm super excited to see the growth.
Yeah, and I'd like to add to that, Evan, if you don't mind, just
absolutely,
and then maybe you can help close this out here as we get close to the end. But it just really bothered me in how you talked about what you had been facing, because we told the story early on about my mom going in the 70s about getting interviewed. So I was like, well, is this the 1960 when this happened? But these are the things that we hear today, that people with disabilities in 2026, 2025, that people are still saying things like that. And I agree, Evan, we're tired of it. I think you're seeing with the 1 in 4 number, you know, this is the time where we got to really change the narrative, because it's just ridiculous that people are still having this mindset and people are talking like that. So this is what I think is some of that drive that I just feel we have, because I'm shocked that this is 2026 and we're having to have these conversations like it's, you know, in the 50s and 60s. So
well, I think Jeremy said the right thing. It's wanting to change the world and wanting to build an organization that's going to change the world.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can eradicate that.
And you got to keep building your alliances, and you build, you know, strength in numbers, and you're growing it, and you're doing the right stuff, and you got the right pieces in place here. And you know, you go out and, you know, I'm so happy and proud of you guys, and I wish you the best of luck. And you guys have already made great progress. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day from Governor Shapiro's office that was well aware of you guys and proud of the progress you guys are making over there, and was talking my ear off about how much that she loves what you guys are doing with the Inspiration Foundation, and made me so proud to be associated with you guys. So keep doing what you guys are doing. You guys are doing a great thing. You're going in the right direction. Jeremy, I wish you nothing but luck and success in this role. Good luck dealing with Isaac and Mike.
You know, I love what everybody said to kind of wrap this up. And I think there's something really interesting, right? Every time I go into a meeting, whether I'm talking to a funder or I'm talking to a partner or a person who's looking for a job, right? There are two things that I always try to bring into that. One is curiosity to see the world through their eyes, right? And I know I've seen leaders of SHRM talk about this. I've seen other leaders talk about it. It's this idea that when I come into a conversation, I am curious to get to know you and to understand you. And it is that curiosity that has taught me things like my friend Bill, who is the chair of the Autism in Action Network, and he's talking about his son who is autistic and has an iPad, and it is because they got him that iPad that he is able to do the things that are going to get him into college. I see movies about Temple Grandin where she completely transcended barriers in the cattle industry and basically is responsible for the way that we get our food today. And the last one that I love to highlight, because I didn't know it and I got caught off guard by it, Harriet Tubman had a disability.
Really? I didn't know that.
She was beaten so bad that she had a traumatic brain injury. And yet she led people out of slavery. Right? Now, whatever side we come down on with stuff, and I don't get political in my job, obviously, right? But I think we can all agree that when someone leads people to do things and they're doing it with a traumatic brain injury, that is an example of creativity, resilience, and achievement.
Absolutely.
And those are the things that I keep in mind as I'm stepping into this role.
Love it, man. It's I mean, personifying inspiration in the Inspiration Foundation, man. It's great stuff.
Thanks.
All right. We got to wrap this up. But again, I wish you nothing but luck and success. All three of you. Proud of all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Evan.
Godspeed. All right. Remember, if you want to continue to support the community, like, subscribe, tell a friend, subscribe. Driven by Purpose, Inspiration Foundation. Like, comment. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you on the next episode. Peace.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.